Good afternoon. After a little bit of tech difficulty on this end, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we just found out about an hour ago. It is Thursday, June 6th at 2:12 p.m. Not a great reason to get together and talk, but we're going to do it. Canon Ketchings, the at one time was a five-star recruit, was dropped down to a four-star recruit sometime last year. Went to OTE, played, I don't know what you'd call it, pro basketball, light in Atlanta, and came to Purdue, according to Bryant Newbert, Golden Black, came to Purdue and was quickly given the ability to leave the scholarship and at his request. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but I can tell you about my thoughts here in a second. I've gotten a couple texts from some friends of mine. My pal Handel Jones gave me his thoughts, and my brothers and a couple other friends gave me theirs. And you guys know, if you listen to this podcast or watch what I say, I was high on this guy. He was my favorite Purdue recruit ever, literally my favorite signing ever, because I was so excited about the upside of this kid, his length and his ability to shoot and attack the basket and the chip on his shoulder that he played with. Plus what I thought one of the best things about him was the fact he had all this good counsel around him, aunts and uncles and parents, a lot of pro athletes in his family. And, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, plain and simple. This is one of those things. It's an example of, if you look at the era we're in, nothing's ever secure right now, right? This is kind of one of the issues. This could happen in any era, but right now it's especially, at the forefront because of the heavy amount of tampering that happens to these athletes. They're always having somebody in their ear or in their agent's ear, checking if there's a better deal around the corner. And, from many accounts, Ketchings' family really wanted him to go to Purdue. They really liked Matt Painter. His mom really liked Matt Painter. His aunt Tamika, really liked Matt Painter and wanted him to go there and get coached by, come to Purdue and get coached by one of the best coaches in America. Not my words. I agree, but it's not what I was saying. It's what his family and his counsel was saying at one point. If you don't forget, not too long ago, about a year ago, year and a quarter ago, there were whispers or rumors, and Ketchings kind of softened on his commitment to Purdue. I think he stopped following Purdue basketball and changed some status things. You know, big deal to kids who live in social media. A lot of people analyzed it and said, yeah, he's going to IU. Maybe he'll still land at IU. Maybe that's going to happen now. But he was soft on that commitment a while ago. And then when he went away, supposedly everything was fine. When he arrived on campus, as it's being told, right away, he kind of tried to set the precedent and say what he wanted out of the deal, and sought out some things that Matt Painter was not willing to give. And Painter quickly released him from his scholarship. The really interesting thing about this, the interesting byproduct, there's a couple interesting byproducts. One of them is Purdue's scholarship woes are solved. A lot of us Purdue fans had a lot of concern about what that 13th player was going to do, where he would find scholarship money, or how he would find a roster spot. And now it's all solved. And Painter sounds like Nostradamus now, but last spring he said these things have a way of working themselves out. I don't know if you guys remember him saying that. Well, it's worked itself out. The positives for me, and I can legitimately see positives here, is Jakari Harris, and Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi, all three of those guys specifically, to me, will reap the benefit of Canon Ketchings not being there. If Canon Ketchings came to Purdue, let's pretend this is an alternate universe right now, and he came to Purdue and he was happy and he was ready to work And I think that ready to work was a big deal to me because I was like, man, you know, kid that thin, I really want him to bulk up, get stronger so he can absorb contact in the Big Ten and be able to play effectively right out of the chute. I said I didn't think he'd be starting right away, I believe I said that. And then I said, I think by January he would be starting. That was my prediction, I believe, if I remember my own words effectively. I thought he was too good to be kept off the court for long. That's what I thought. And I still think that. I think he's a really, really skilled player. His length makes him really, really tough for other teams to guard him because he's got so much to offer. Now, the question is, where does he land right now? And I don't really care not because I became a Cannon Catchings fan. That's not the reason I don't care. I don't care because whatever. If you don't want to come through, that's fine. The thing I don't want happen, obviously, I don't want him to land at a rival and then Purdue has to get beaten by him. Now, if he can land at a rival and Purdue can beat him a couple times and just remind him that he made poor decisions, that'd be great. And I hope whoever gets to guard him, I mean that, gets to guard him, has the opportunity to guard him if he lands someplace close to home or close to Purdue. I hope they take this personally because not only did he turn his back on the team, he turned his back on his new teammates. Because a lot of those guys, they meet, they get to know each other. And when you start, you come in and you say, you're better than the team. I know this is old-fashioned, old guy talk, but I don't really care. When you do that, those kids should take offense. Not enough of that happens publicly, in my opinion, in these days. I think it's, you see all these guys say, go get your bag, big fellow, whatever, right? But to take it personally that all these guys were working towards being teammates, and then you say, yeah, I don't want to be with you guys because it's about me, I would be offended. Quite friendly, frankly. And I was offended when I played sports and guys thought that way. And I know that's old school way of thinking, but I don't care. Again, if he would have come to Purdue and he would have acted exactly as we thought, and Painter would have said, whatever, yes, sir, may I have another to him, and just kind of taken the abuse from a kid who is just fresh on campus, the precedent that would have been set and the things it would have done to the chemistry of the team would have been irreparable, in my opinion. Painter made the right decision here. Painter made the right decision for a lot of reasons. He sets a precedent that he's not going to do this for recruits. And I hope they hear it. I hope they hear that message. And I hope they also hear that he's going to be honest with them. My guess is it was a pretty grown-up conversation. This is the way Painter talks to kids, talks to players, talks to them honestly, doesn't pull punches. I would bet Painter had an inkling that it was going to happen. Just because he doesn't seem to get surprised too often by things. He doesn't show it anyway. But what can you do? This is what I always say. You can't fall in love with recruits because they're not yours. And you can't miss something you've never had, right? But all of us, every Purdue fan was already thinking about the effect that Cannon Catchings was going to have on that offense specifically. That was the thing I thought about, was how versatile he would make the offense. Now, again, great opportunity comes from this, and will it be Miles Colvin that steps up and takes advantage of these additional minutes? Will it be Cam Heidi? Will it be Jakari Harris? Will it be Jack Benter, right? Benter was my sleeper in this class. All of a sudden, the sensational six becomes a fantastic five that comes in. There's, like I said, great opportunity here, and got to move on. Can't dwell on this very long, and Purdue won't, so you as a fan sure as hell shouldn't. Let's talk. A lot of you guys are here. Appreciate you tuning in live. I thought we would have a good chance to talk to one another, so let's do it. Ted Berkey says, second go around. Yep, I tried this once. I erased this from the interwebs. The failure was I have a little monitor that shows when I've gone live, and it'll show there's a lag. It'll show me on, and it didn't show me. It just stayed black screen. And then I went back, I watched real quickly, and I was there. And then I came back on YouTube to redo it, and it had no record of that stream ever happening. So I had to redo everything. So that's why it took a minute. Ben Kolodzinski says, ice cubes. Yeah, brother. He and I were trading messages on the DMs on Twitter, talking a little bit about this. And yeah, he heard my thoughts. So before I got on here, good to see you, Ben. MHC says, great day. Great day. So I don't know what to do with that. C. Metzger says, in paint we trust. you got to trust, and you got to trust process, and you got to trust the standards that are set at some point. We don't know everything, and we'll get a pretty good idea of what exactly happened. We've already got a pretty good idea of it, what happened behind closed doors, but I think even more details will be released, and we'll see if this was good for the team immediately. I think it's good in the long run, meaning just one season in, I think this is a really good thing for the program, because you don't want a guy in there that's not going to play nice with the rest of the team. You just don't. You don't want a guy in there who's not going to fall in the line and know what role he's supposed to be there and be confident in it. Think about, let's compare and contrast this right now with Miles Colvin. Okay. Everybody is high on Miles Colvin's ability, his potential, everybody. And look what Colvin did last year. He completely said, all right, I'll take my lumps right now. I won't play. There are many games he didn't see a minute. And then yet, when the chips were down in the NCAA tournament and he was called upon, he did a really, really good job and he was important. And now this year, he's going to be extremely important. Even more so now. But compare and contrast those two things and how important it is, has been for Purdue for guys to say, you know what, I'll take a back seat now because it's better for the team and it's better for the winning, right? The odds of winning go up when guys say they embrace their role, even if that role is lesser and somewhat painful. Well, Catchings wasn't even given a lesser role. He was just not promised that you're gonna get this, this, and this. He'll go someplace. He'll get those things that are promised. And maybe his agent got a really, really good offer. I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt tampering. I don't think it'll be long before we know where he's going. Unless he just really wants to play around and enjoy this process all over again. Remember, he's been away for the last year. And maybe he wanted to do this before and he didn't have the chance. And his family said, you committed to something, you stick with it. Well, now he doesn't have to. I just did this with my son, by the way, much lesser extent. He went and started his own bank account, right? He's 18 years old, so now he can do it himself, right? Maybe it's something that simple. He's got to do it himself, right? When my kids were really little, my daughter used to always say, I do myself, right? Okay, 2-3-year-old girl, you do yourself, right? We'll see how this goes. Joe Inslee, why can't Purdue have nice things, only big things? No, Joe, we don't have to look back far. Let's remember, and this is one thing that Handel was saying, that it goes a narrative that Purdue doesn't get NBA talent. Well, you've had two NBA players in the last 3 years. It's a pretty good record with NBA talent, and both are going to stick. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not happy about this at all. But at the same time, I do think it's the best thing in the big picture. So it would have been much better if Catchings would have just been like, yeah, I'm here to kick ass and take names and do what, you know, there's a lot of good coaches on that staff. He'll go someplace that also has good coaches on the staff. Maybe he'll go to Arkansas. Maybe there's a really sweet bag waiting for him down there. Maybe he'll go to Bloomington. They're spending. Illinois is spending. Jeff says, swear to God, if he ends up at Kansas or Duke or somewhere like that. No, I think it's okay, Jeff, if he ends up there. I really do. I think it'd be great if he ended up at Duke and he got a chance to catch one of those famous Mason Gillis elbows in practice, just to let him know that he's not as big or strong as he might have thought he was. Gillis, just there is a precedent of that. How many times do we hear stories of Gillis getting somebody with an elbow in practice? Inadvertently, I'm sure. But it's a big boy game. The Well Ministry says, what's the point of a letter of intent if it doesn't mean anything? Well, it meant something, right? He arrived, he intended to come, and then Painter let him out of it. But we are in an era of commitment doesn't mean much, right? But it's never meant much. It never has. That's the funny thing about the verbal, right? When you verbally commit to something, I used to always say, and then they get out of it. What'd that verbal mean? Nothing. That verbal didn't mean anything. But your signature on a piece of paper really doesn't mean anything at this era either, because everything right now, there's a pendulum that's swung, and the pendulum is clearly leaning heavily towards the players. Good for them, for the players, for getting to go where they want to go, but there's got to be some sort of commitment here. And I'm talking about, I believe there should just be contracts. I think it's that simple. Put contracts in place. And if you're going to get paid grown-up money, there should be grown-up contracts. I don't think that's too much to ask. Everybody asks these guys they're the faces of the program, and that's true. There's money to be made. True. Give them contracts. Real simple. It'll solve a lot. Let's see. Boiler Bugle says he didn't want to ride the pine behind Fletch Lawyer. He wasn't going to be behind Lawyer. He's a wing. So I think Purdue would have changed the offense a little bit in his case. But having a three-guard look, I think was a really good possibility. And he would have been that third guard or that wing, whatever. Kind of a, he's not going to be behind Lawyer. Chris Beeler says, sounds like he met with Painter, had some demands he didn't like, and the answer to someone else's problem now. Exactly. MHC says, this sad stream should include drinking bourbon, a lot of bourbon. No, I don't drink that way. I don't drink when I'm sad or upset or angry, but I'm going to be over this pretty quickly, and so should you. Tom Headington says, good talent, but seems like not a true Boilermaker attitude. Yeah, it's sad. I say it all the time. Recruiting is so much based on the voices in someone's ear, the counsel that is in their ear. And we don't know all the people that are in someone's ear. You can have a crazy uncle. Like, I'm an uncle, and I'm a crazy uncle. I would say I'm a little bit on edge for my nephews, my poor nephews and my one niece. A nutty uncle can get in somebody's ear and change their mind. But bigger than that, in my opinion, that time at the OTE or in the OTE, whatever you want to call it, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. And I don't like the OTE a lot or whatever. I don't like the, it looks like pro wrestling and NBA kind of running into each other. But now I really don't like it. I'm not going to have very fond feelings of it. And the next, if Purdue has another guy go through there, I can tell you, I'm going to start saying, uh-oh, here we go again. Let's see. Okay, Kevin in Albuquerque says, we've talked all along about this being a special program because the players buy into the system. Word. That requires you to buy into sitting, if that's the case. Yep. Which is hard for kids who want to play now. I wish them luck. Yeah, yeah, I agree. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, right? That's pretty simple. And you'd really, really, I'll just stress this one more time. You don't want a kid there that doesn't want to buy into that philosophy. You just don't. Because it's going to happen sometime in the season for a freshman where maybe you're not listening, maybe you're not playing well, maybe you're cold, you know, whatever. And it's just time you gotta sit and learn and work it out in practice. A lot of guys don't want to do that, right? So just isn't the place for them. Ben Kolodzinski says, Purdue oftentimes comes out smelling like roses in these circumstances, might be for the best. I think it will be for the best. Chris R says, Martin also out. What's that reference to? Chase graduated, right? Konzo is coaching someplace. Don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Nate V says he's not on campus per Brian. Yep. He's gone. He'll find a landing space. Zachary Young says, how true do we know this to be, though? I've seen that he made demands on Twitter, but is it hearsay or are we telling ourselves things to make us feel better? No, Zachary. This source is good. This source is very good. It's not me. I'm not a member of the media. I'm a guy who tells my opinions about what I see. And this is from Golden Black and Bryant Newbert. And to me, it's the best source. It's the best source. When he says something, it happened. He's been wrong so infrequently in the last, 15, 20 years since he's worked for Golden Black. It's a very good source. So Cameron Underhill says, how do you see the 3-4 positions shaking out with Casey not coming? Yeah, I think this is a, like I said, I think Cam Heide probably is a guy that'll benefit from this a lot because it looked like to me in one scenario, if you're going to say we're going to get bigger in that wing position, Cam Heide is a dude, right? But right now he's, you know, his redshirt year helped him. He was already a pretty big, strong guy. So I think that's probably the big win there is for Cam Heide. But I do think there's a lot of minutes that are affected in that 3-4 area, Miles Colvin. And like I said, I think Jakari Harris benefits from this a lot and Benter could benefit really. I don't know if you saw this, Newbert posted this as well. Benter had 19 points in the, just a quiet 19 points, 7-for-10 game in the, Indiana All-Star game. So just chugging along, doing his thing quietly. So we're gonna like him a lot. Joinsley says, to be fair, Purdue got Biggie from Michigan State in a similar way. I'll tell you why I don't know if that's a good comparison. The big thing is the connection that Biggie had to Purdue was totally legit. Totally legit. Regardless of why somebody leaves, though, they leave. They're gone, and they wanted to go. But Biggie's guardian is a Purdue alum, and he's a guy who loves Purdue, and he likes Painter. So that's a big difference. So, but if we want to make equivalencies, we can. Whatever. I don't care. If a guy wants to leave, he leaves. This happens over and over. Ted Berg says this hurts, but we might be better in the long run. Let's see. I think we wanted to be one and done. I think he wanted to be one and done as well. It helps develop our other guys in the run for 25, 26, and 26 is Indy Final Four. Yep, I agree. Midwest Toker says all this hype on these young kids makes their egos override common sense. There's hype. There's always been hype with certain people, right? I mean, as long as I've been alive, guys coming out of high school that were five stars, you know, or whatever the equivalent, what you want to call it, back 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, Damon Bailey, the hype behind that kid when he was coming out of high school, I remember that. So, that was crazy. I mean, the amount of people that went to Bailey's high school games was absurd. Midwest Toker said, all this hype on, wait, nope, just what I said. Kellen Krug says, not a smart player either. Kind of reminds me of Aaron Wheeler. Well, he reminds you of Aaron Wheeler in his build. But he's very explosive and very skilled. Wheeler was a work in progress and was going to get better, I thought. So they're very different in that right out of the box. I think Catchings was much more ready with his skill set. But boy, he was built like Wheeler. I will say that. Ed Albanese got rid of a message. Hope he has another one here. It does in a second. Ron Gable says, I'm thinking Catchings didn't want a freshman year like Colvin's, and I think you're right. I think that's I don't think he was going to have that type of year, but I think there's a good chance he wasn't going to start. And that might be, especially right out of the chute. And that might have been enough for him to say, okay, I'll go someplace else. There are places that need a wing right now. They need a guy right now, and they're willing to pay for it or give him whatever he wants. So he'll find a sweet, soft landing spot. Joe Inslee says, what do we have against Wheels? Nothing against Wheels. Nothing against Wheels. I like Aaron Wheeler. I wish that would have worked out better. But he's a guy that I don't think Wheeler has any hard feelings against Purdue. And he just wasn't going to get the playing time that I think he thought he'd get. But the problem with Wheeler, like I said, he had that first year where he played a ton when he had Boogie in front of him. He was getting the third defender, so he's getting a lot of open looks, and he knocked down a lot of threes. I think a lot of people thought he would knock down those threes that next year, and he just didn't shoot at a high percentage, so he lost his minutes. So, yeah, it's that simple. That and wasn't the defender I think Painter thought he could be. I think Painter always thinks a guy that's a really good athlete should be a really good defender because of the lateral quickness, and that's one of the things we saw with Colvin last year is he didn't have the lateral quickness didn't translate into a really solid on-court defender. This is my opinion. Never heard him say it, but it's my guess. Joins us says two NBA players, but not five-ish stars. And maybe that's Purdue's formula, Joe. Purdue's had one five-star under Painter, right? One five-star. Purdue's had three five-stars that I can remember in my life. Glenn Robinson, Mike Robinson, and Biggie. That's a long time with just three, five stars for a program as good as Purdue. And if Purdue's going to be a developmental program, so be it. That's fine. Maniacally, Steve says, just saying hi, Dowd. Thanks for talking about this. Good to see you, Steve. Ed Albanese, the king of the gummy bear world, says, what's up? Good to see you all. I'm frustrated with this. It seems value now. Days mean playing right away. Yeah. I think that There are lots of things we were not going to know about here. So, but I do think that he was not ready to compromise. I'm sure of that. Chris R says, thought Chase was on the scholarship for this year. He's going to play for his dad. Okay. So Chase, I think, graduated in engineering. Okay. And Chase was, as far as I know, never going to get a scholarship for Purdue basketball. So good. I'm glad he still has eligibility. He's going to play for his dad. That's awesome. First thing. And I hope he sees the court a lot. I love I love Chase Martin. So thank you for the explanation. I love him because of his personality. I think he's a guy that is so good for the locker room, so good for team trips because he kept things light. And I hope he makes it rain for Zoe. But I do not think he ever had a scholarship earmarked for him, as far as I know. I've never heard that. So that's okay. There's a lot of things out there that I don't know. So could be. But I don't think there was ever a world that he was getting one of those scholarships this year. That's for sure. Kevin Albuquerque says Chase is going to play grad year for Konzo. That's good. Todd Singer says, looked like OT helped him bulk up. I don't think it was a total waste. The videos I saw of him, he didn't look bulked up to me. So, but sure, he's going to gain weight naturally too, just because getting a year older, right? That's going to happen. And I would think they would feed him pretty well down at the OT. I think that would work that way. They want those guys to get stronger too. So, no, it's not a complete waste for him. Not at all. So OT, NBA, and WWF. Smashing into each other. Karen Gerlach, long time no talk, says, trust Painter, Brian N is the best. Purdue demands team first. Didn't think the dude was not a company man. We don't know. I don't know anything about him. I know that I think I really like his family based on what I hear. That's what I know about him. And I just don't know anything else. And I know that he looks like a really skilled player. And I'd like to have had him in gold and black, but we're not going to. Todd Turner says, see ya. Yep. And Chris Harder says, AKA, Chris Harder says, not going to lie, I'm digging the short beard look. Yeah, this is pretty distinguished what I've got going. Thank you, Chris, for noticing. Chris, I was thinking about something you and I need to talk about, maybe doing a bourbon bar at your place too. Maybe we do that. Hit me up on a text. We'll talk about it. If you're in, it could be fun. Yeah, so Chris Harder is one of the he's got one of the best bars in America in his basement. So, but that's about it. This is a good quick cast, a little too long still, 27 minutes. I blame you guys because you're too damn interesting and I got to talk to you. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Better days ahead, there's no doubt about it. Grant, Big Time Boiler says, adios. I think is what he sent. Chris Harder says, let's do it. That's a good sign. So maybe coming to a computer or phone screen near you, a bourbon bar filmed not too far from where I'm. I'm not going to give away where Chris is, but in Poppin's Pub. Yeah, that's a great place. Ed Albany says, on another note, I'm excited about Jacobson and Berg playing. Yeah. Watch on the film, and a good friend of mine, asked me to do this and reminded me of this. Watch the way Jacobson moves on the court in the highlights. Just watch the way he moves. That's all I'm saying. 7'3", and he is extremely smooth and moves fast for a guy as big as he is. He's 7'3". He is the same height as Zach Edey, and he moves like that. That is a big deal. And I asked my buddy when we were talking about this, is Jacobson a little bit like Klingon as a freshman. And I didn't pay that much attention to Klingon, honestly. He was a secondary character at UConn last year in their first national title run. And this year he had a little more weight on his frame, but very skilled right out of the chute, obviously high recruit. So that's where he and Jacobson are different. Jacobson's going to earn everything he gets, all the respect he gets. And speaking of UConn, the story that broke this morning, like before I woke up, it's pretty shocking that Hurley sounds like he's seriously entertaining the idea of moving on to the NBA and going coaching for the Lakers for mega bags of cash. Good for him. Too late though. I would have loved to him to make that decision before this season, but can't lament. Cool guy 551 says, just joined the stream. Does anyone know how Catching's decommitted? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for checking in. And on that note, we'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Hammer down, boiler up. Don't be a jackass to people, even if you're from IU. See ya.